Oh, and we just soak in that understanding, that revelation, Father, that you are faithful, Lord, that you are faithful, that you are faithful in every way, in every time, in every circumstance, Lord. In every place that we find ourselves in, Father, you are faithful. You are faithful, faithful, faithful. And we just take that this morning. We take that this morning, Lord, as truth. We take it, Lord, as strength, Father. We take it, Father, as nourishment to our spirits and our hearts and our emotions, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that this morning you are just impacting the places, Father God, of our lives that need to know that you are faithful. I just speak that into every circumstance. That you are faithful. Just thank you for that exchange this morning. That every lie that would say anything against that, Father, is just broken off, is released, Lord, is shut down. They untangle in this very moment, Lord, your precious children, Father. And I just thank you that the truth that you are faithful, Father, takes over. Takes over, Lord. Takes over. Shifting circumstances and situations. Shifting our emotional state of being, oh God. That you take over, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, this morning we're going to be hearing just the many ways that the Lord is being faithful to our team in Brazil. There's quite a few updates, so we're going to go there right now. And we'll dismiss the children after the updates just because they're things that we all should be hearing. As they get that ready, as they get there's videos from Brazil, there's pictures from Brazil, there's testimony from Brazil. That was all. I said there's video from Brazil, there's updates. Still soaking in his presence, yes. Okay, who's a kingdom kid? Okay, who's literally in the kingdom kid program? I can't hear you guys. Where are you, kingdom kids? I see hands. Well, there's going to be practice for our Kingdom Kids after service today, because next Sunday, for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, they're going to be blessing us with some music, with some drama, with some good stuff that the Lord has given them. So I encourage you to be here next Sunday. We're going to be starting off our celebration with breakfast at 9:45, and then we'll transition into worship and whatever else the Lord will have. So that's next Sunday. And the Brazil team will be back, and we will be able to hear firsthand all the amazing things that the Lord is pouring out in Brazil. A cuckle. Now, many of you aren't listening because that was kind of funny. Sharp. We got to stay sharp today. A couple of things that I want to highlight. Thank you so much for the Legends outreach yesterday. Woo! Let's hear it for Legends. We'll be hearing more about Legends on Tuesday, just because today we're so packed with Brazil. We're going to be sharing testimony and some highlights from that. But thank you to Ina and her team for putting that all together. And for all of you who were able to be there and give of your time and of yourselves, thank you very much. Also, this is the last Sunday to sign up for Easter Lilies. If you would like to purchase Easter Lilies, they're $6. They'll be here next Sunday. We'll use them to decorate the front here. And then after service, you're able to take them home with you. But if you want one, please sign up today out in the foyer. There will be our Global Bridegroom Fast and Throne Room Stations this coming week. March 27th through March 29th, so mark that on your calendars, and the church will be open here from 6 to 8 with a Throne Room Station. So please mark that down. It's a great week to really be praying, to really be fasting, to really be preparing our hearts for an amazing, amazing time on Resurrection Sunday. Yes? All right, just wave at me when videos are ready. There will be a Genesis class. Okay. Genesis class will take off, or start again, I should say, April 7th. April 7th. So if you're interested in that, you can talk to Jill Plotner. And what that is it's not a class about the book of Genesis. Clarification. It's not a class about the book of Genesis. It's if you're a frontline, if you are new here, if you have before, it's just... I keep hearing myself go high and low. It's a good class for you to take to get some foundational things, not only spiritually, but about our wonderful frontline family. So if you're interested, see Jill Plotner. And last but not least, summer celebration. We already have our dates for that, and I want to give you those dates so we can mark them down, both for if you have children so they can participate, and you wonderful volunteers so you can put it on your calendar. And this year's summer celebration is going to be July 30th through August 2nd. July 30th through August 2nd, and if you're junior high, you will officially end on the 3rd after our wonderful all-nighter. Okay? So if you forgot everything I just said, great news, everybody. It's written down for you. So please pick one up, take it with you so you can be reminded of everything that I just said. Yes? All right. Well, I'm going to hop over to Brazil, read you a few things here that I just got this morning. So bear with me, because there is a lot from Brazil. Okay. Okay, well, they sent us some videos this morning that we're going to be watching. I honestly don't know what they are, so I will be amazed along with you. But I wanted to share some written testimonies that they sent. Yesterday, we had a resurrection celebration for the children of City of God and Heliopolis. We did a drama about the relationship between Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and man. It showed the closeness of the Godhead, the creation of man, the fall of man, and the restoration of relationship with the Godhead because of the love sacrifice of Jesus. After the drama, there were many children and even some adults who prayed to receive Jesus. Yes, amen. Praise him. There is a wave of revival coming into the favelas. There has been a major shift both there and at Casa de Jesus. Our pastors ministered powerfully at CDJ last night. There was an amazing outpouring. We are ministering to 5 different churches today. 5 different churches. Please pray for an outpouring. We need you, Holy Spirit. Have a powerful Sunday. Love the Brazil team. Well, we can go ahead and cue some of those videos up and show them. This is entitled, A Look Inside of a House in the City of God, Favela.
We prayed for her as well. We prayed for her, yes.
Tá gravando, tia?
Sim.
Ah, é, tá gravando, tia.
Pode entrar, pode entrar.
And this is her house. This is her house. This is where she lives. So you can see she has all kinds of things on the walls. She has, of course, her earrings, her table and chairs here. And she's got, I think, coffee. No, she's boiling some hot water on her stove. And I think this is her bedroom. Let's see. No, nothing here. I think there must be a bed upstairs. So, I don't know. We'll go upstairs and see.
I think the Brazil team wants us to get an idea of what a favela is. The housing there.
Okay. This is where she lives. This is where... How many people live in this area here? So this is kind of a small place, as you can see. And this is where... This is everything that she has. And she's got all her belongings on the wall. And they sleep here. As you can see, there's not a lot of space here. Yeah. So we're hoping to help her as well. And she's part of the ministry. We help reach out to her. And she comes when we bring things on Saturday for the kids. And we're going to have an outreach for the families. And she's very important to the Lord and to this place. So we're going to see how we can be a blessing to her too. So, amen. Let's go back down.
Well, again, a taste of Brazil for those of us who haven't been there. Cramped quarters for people living there. That's a home. Picture that, yourself living there where your only space is on the wall. Doesn't that make us a little grateful for what we have? Just a little bit. Actually, it should be a lot. And I believe video number 2 is coming up.
Go.
We're back in the mission center, and Eunice has made us a beautiful lunch. She comes here every day to feed the children. So she wanted to give us something special today.
Oh,
so we're going to sit down and rest.
Tia.
And this is where we have ministry for the children and the families.
The secret.
So we can just kind of take a look at our beautiful area here. We're really blessed. And this is Eunice. Eunice. Querida,
Traz vocês, vocês. Vocês
como? This is minha amiga, my friend. Special friend. Deus te abençoe, Pai.
Amém.
Amém. Let's eat.
On.
We're sitting here at our feast with ABC and Pastor Paulo. Say hello.
Hello.
Okay. Hey. And we have delicious Brazilian food. We have salada y
tomate, cebola,
and arroz com pollo, chicken and rice.
Feijão, beans.
Feijado or beans?
Feijão.
Yeah, and it's delicious. We are enjoying our banquet right here.
Broccoli. And broccoli também.
She heard from heaven. Deus fala. The Lord spoke to her and said, Mary would like broccoli.
Yay!
Amen. That was a blessing.
So Pastor Ray Pat so far has gotten a shower cap and broccoli. You are interceding correctly, my friends. I believe there is more. Power of God touches people as Pastor Bill sings over them.
If you hear condemnation,
you'll have to wait and see what happens. Or hear what happens, I guess. Is there more? There is more.
Okay, we're shopping in the supermarket. Okay. All right. Feeling better? With Juliana, she wasn't feeling well earlier.
Here they are blessing our friend Juliana. I'm going to read this since it's a little bit hard to hear, Pastor Mary Pat, but it says, our friend Juliana, who lives in Heliopolis and has five children, was excited to go shopping with us at the nearby supermarket. We have been loving on her family for years. This past Saturday, she dedicated her life to Jesus, and we are trusting God for a big 4-H job for her. Today, we took her to the supermarket to bless her with food and other essential items. Juliana seemed overwhelmed and slightly tentative when we first started shopping, but she became more free to receive the expression of love after Pastor Mary Pat kept putting twice as many items in her cart. This food is very needed and is a natural picture of what God is doing in her spiritually. Lord, let your abundance and favor for Juliana help her see how truly loved she is. Isn't that awesome? We are finished with the videos. All right. Well, God bless our team in Brazil, yes? More Lord for Brazil? All right, we are going to release our kingdom kids to kingdom land. In case you are new here and you didn't catch it, I forgot to mention earlier that our pastors are in Brazil, Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, along with Tiana Douglas and Troy Larson, who are part of our frontline family. So if you are new, welcome. And that is what's happening. Probably should have said that before we showed the Brazil videos. Well, I'm gonna. I have a videos of my own that I want to share with you. But before I do that, I would like to pray to prepare our hearts to receive. Yes, Lord. Oh, you are good, Lord. You are so good, Father. You are so good. And in your goodness, Lord. Oh, Father, we are safe in your goodness, Lord. We are safe in your goodness. I thank you, Father, for your great love for your children this morning. I thank you that you delight in your children, Father, that you delight in every single person that is here, that you delight in them, that you delight in us, Lord, and that in your goodness there is safety, and in your goodness there is trust in your safety. There's goodness, Lord. There's trust in your goodness. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are going to help me to keep my words straight this morning. You're going to help me to articulate and keep how just tracking with your spirit, Father. Just thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you and we thank you, Father. And Lord, I just do thank you that for the places that our Brazil team is going to be ministering at, Father, that those five churches, Lord, will be impacted with your presence, with your glory, Father, with your anointing, Lord. I just thank you, Father, for the great exchange and shifts, Father God, in the atmospheres, Lord, that as they move about Brazil today, oh God, that there would just be just a fire, Lord God, that is released. I just thank you, Holy One, just for a hedge of protection for our pastors, Lord, for Tiana, for Troy. And I just thank you, Holy One, that you are going to accomplish today, Father, what you have set out to accomplish. So we just thank you, Lord, for open heavens, Father, for just that openness, Lord, to be able to communicate with you, to connect with you, oh God. We bless your name, Lord. We thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, as I mentioned, I have a couple videos of my own that I wanted to share just to help us position ourselves to focus in, to maybe just bring us into a place where we can open up our hearts even more to what the Lord has this morning. So, video crew, you let me know when that is. Okay. It doesn't matter, do you? So, you know, as you're watching this, just keep in mind that the Lord is good. This really helped me when I was preparing for the message, so I just wanted to share it with you. John, feed it, Wait for it. Okay, any guesses as to who that is? Huh? Lauren Sliptak, everybody. Do you know how old you were, love? When Lawrence was younger. And you know, what does scripture tell us? Huh? Five or six? No. I think three or four. Four? Two? Three? Four. I don't know. Let's say three. Yeah? You look like a three-year-old. They want an encore, love. Maybe later. As he warms up to the idea. All right. So as scripture says, we must do what our father does, right? Something like that. All right, let's.
Awesome.
And Joseph is four. So these videos really help me with today's message. They really help me focus in on the heart of the Lord and what he wants to pour out this morning. So hopefully they have ministered to your heart as much as they did to me. As you know, today is Palm Sunday. And as I read that account, the triumphal entry, the account, the description of Jesus entering Jerusalem, that's where you get the name Palm Sunday, I started to see something that I had not seen before. So this morning I invite you to track with me, to go with me in a journey through with the Lord. And hopefully you will be blessed and be encouraged in your hearts. So I'm actually going to go to Matthew 21 now, where and read through a part of the triumphal entry. You're welcome to join me there or write it down. And I'm using NASB version. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. And tie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say, the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. and brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their coats on them. And he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those following him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So again, this is something that I've read many times, but as I was reading it this time, a couple things that were happening. So you have one crowd of people, and they see Jesus riding in on a donkey, and they are stirred up. They want to celebrate. They're full of joy and excitement to the degree where they start taking off their coats. They start cutting branches off a tree, and they start laying them down. And because to them, it was truly a triumphal entry. That's got to be a lot of joy and excitement, right? To take off your coat and start cutting branches off a tree. Like, why would that be a reaction to seeing somebody ride a donkey? So that's one crowd. The other crowd or group of people that were there, they were witnessing the same thing. But to them, they just saw some guy on a sad-looking animal with a bunch of really happy people behind him shouting out some crazy things. You know, and maybe they were thinking, if it was somebody so important or if he was really all of that, you know, why didn't he ride in on a horse? Where's his entourage of servants? Why isn't he demonstrating that he's of importance or value? So what was the difference in the crowds? Why did one group celebrate and rejoice, but not the other? These were some of the questions that I started mulling over in my heart. They both were witnessing the same thing. There's people watching the same exact thing happening. And one group is so excited and so happy, they're taking clothes off and cutting trees down. The other group is stirred up, confused, and asking, who is this? And why is that man on a donkey? Like, what's the big deal? So what was it? What was the difference? What was going on? What would cause the two groups to respond so differently to something that was happening? And I just felt like the Lord said, but only one crowd knew who he was. Only one crowd knew who he was. Therefore, they were able to respond appropriately and wholeheartedly because they knew who Jesus was. To them, it wasn't just a man on a sad-looking donkey. To them, it was the King of Kings, their Redeemer and their Savior. And that stirred up within them such joy, such excitement that they were celebrating and they didn't care who knew it. They were dancing, they were shouting, they were enjoying a triumphal entry. While the other crowd didn't know who he was, they had no idea. It even says that they were asking, "Who is this? Who is this?" And because they didn't know him, they were unable to respond. They were unable to engage in the celebrating. They were unable to receive the joy that was springing forth in the celebration because they didn't know who Jesus was. They couldn't see that he was the King of Kings, that he was their deliverer and redeemer, that he was the one that they had been waiting for. And so what I was seeing for the first time, and maybe you all have seen it before, but what I was seeing for the first time in this particular account was, it was what motivated, what sprung forth the celebrating, what caused the shouts of victory and joy was knowing Jesus. Was knowing Jesus. And knowing Jesus ended up looking like something, as we hear a lot in this house. It felt like something. It was there was a result because of knowing him. So let's see where that takes us. Again, track with me in my wonderful thoughts. My wonderful husband last week shared a really powerful message about knowing the Lord and about intimacy and walking with him. So if you want more insight, if you want more of that, feel free to listen to that message. But I'm going to take the journey a little bit to the place of celebrating because we know him, because we know the Lord. Okay, so are you ready for some questions? Are you with me? Okay. hopefully I do a lot of stirring this morning. So I have a few questions here that are, again, of the serious nature to pull you in into that deep place of the Father's heart this morning. Okay, question one. Have you ever laughed so hard that you cried and at some point forgot why you were laughing in the first place? Have you ever laughed so hard that milk exploded from your nose and mouth? Because I have, my friends. Thank you to Nikki Summers. Milk was pouring out of places that milk should not pour out of. Have you ever laughed so hard that your head hurt? Sometimes I have to stop myself because it actually hurts. Have you ever laughed so hard that you sprayed your husband or your wife or your friend in the face with a beverage that was once in your mouth? All the time. Sorry, love. All the time. Whether it be coffee or water or juice, freshly juice. Have you ever laughed so hard that the atmosphere around you or in you shifted? Yes. Have you ever laughed so hard that afterwards you were so full of peace and contentment, so full of satisfaction that nothing compared to it? There's something about allowing the deep wells of joy that the Lord has deposited in us for those to be expressed and experienced. There is something about releasing that and allowing it to work the way the Lord intended it for it to work. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe we didn't know that when we said yes to Jesus. Here's my life, that as new creations, as new creatures in him, joy is part of the package. What does scripture tell us? That he came that we might have abundant life. A overabundance of supply of everything that is good. And Romans 14:17 reminds us that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That there is just such an incredible place for joy in our lives that I believe the enemy loves to steal away from us. That he loves to pervert it, twist it, water it down, hide it, make it weird, make it goofy, make it everything except what it should be. So I'm going to look at joy, some definitions, and then we're going to continue on our track here. So remember, thus far, what causes the celebration and the overjoyness in our hearts, it's knowing Jesus. And that there's an ability for that joy to cause such tremendous shifts in our heart that we can shift atmospheres within us and around us. So joy, I looked up the definition of joy. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. And what did we sing about this morning? The goodness. So joy is the emotion of great delight caused by something exceptionally good. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something or someone exceptionally good or satisfying. Our God is good and He is satisfying. He is satisfying. Keen pleasure, elation, a source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. Something or someone greatly valued or appreciated. Did we know that about joy? Yes, a source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. Something or someone greatly valued or appreciated. Joy, the expression or display of glad feeling. Festive, I believe I'm saying this right, gaiety. A state of happiness or felicity. To feel joy, be glad, rejoice. Related words, rejoice, joyfulness, joyousness, delight, pleasure. A deep feeling or condition of happiness or contentment. Joy, something causing such a feeling, a source of happiness. An outward show of pleasure or delight. To satisfaction, to feel joy, to make joy gladden. So some very interesting things to put clarity, at least in my heart and hopefully in yours, of joy. The emotion of great delight by something exceptionally good or satisfying. So then I decided to take a journey and venture into the definition of laughter. Besides, you know, laughter or laugh. The experience or manifestation, I didn't make it up. The experience or manifestation of mirth, amusement, or joy. I looked up mirth because I wasn't exactly sure what that was. And that's gaiety or jollity. Especially when accompanied by laughter. So the experience or manifestation of joy is laughter. An inner quality, mood, disposition. Laugh or laughter. To experience the emotion so express. To drive, put, or bring. By or with laughter. Meaning often followed by. For example, I should say, they laughed him out of town. We laughed away our troubles. Laugh off, to dismiss as ridiculous, trivial, or hollow. Aren't these amazing definitions? So laughter and joy are more than just, you know, simple emotions or expressions that, you know, fill us for an instant. That's what the enemy wants us to, that's the realm that he wants to keep us in. Yes? That we had a good laugh with our friend. She's so funny or he's so funny. And those are amazing. Those are good things. I do it all the time. But what I'm saying today is that the Lord wants to take us in the deeper depths of his heart. Of bringing that joy. Of springing forth joy. Of allowing us to laugh. Allowing us to be free, to express that place of joy because of who he is, because of who we are, because of what he did. Inner quality, a disposition to laugh off or dismiss as ridiculous, trivial, or hollow. And I love that because we can laugh off at the enemy's ridiculousness, at his hollowness and his weak attempts to derail us. All right. So with all of that moving around in hopefully your hearts and your spirits, let's look at Luke 19. As I was reading the different accounts of the triumphal entry, I came across Zacchaeus. Come down from that tree. You guys weren't in the same Sunday school class. Or wait, was that in Spanish? Maybe. Saqueo a tu casa voy a ir. Actually, it was, you're forgiven. All right. So, again, obviously I know Zacchaeus, like no one in Spanish. As I read this again, I started to see something different that I hadn't seen before in this account. And I'm using the New Living Translation. That's Luke 19. You can follow along on your own or listen. All right, so here we go. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. So again, I began to see different responses. Joy and transformation coming forth from one, Zacchaeus. And for the others, not so much. You know, verse 5 there it says that Zacchaeus, I'm sorry, it's verse 6, that Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Why would a notorious sinner respond in excitement and joy to have Jesus, the guy that can read your mail and knows what you're going to say before you say it, why would he be excited and full of joy and say, yes, please come in to my world of dysfunction? If it were me, you know, Zacchaeus, I don't know that I would be so excited and joyful to say, yes, please come into my business, come into my life. I know I've been wrong. I know I've done bad things. Please, here am I, take me. I don't think that would be my response. It'd be like more kind of busy, got things going on. Thank you, Jesus. I'll see you later, alligator. And run far, far away, far. Because I wouldn't want, I don't know, I don't think I would want that. Why is his response to Jesus, I will give half of my wealth to the poor and pay people back? What on earth is happening here? Why is he responding? Just like the people, why were they taking coats off and chopping branches? Why? Why this behavior? And the better question is why, in verse 7, were the rest of the people grumbling about it? Why were they so upset? Displeased, it says. Displeased and grumbling about Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house. Why were they so mad? Like, shouldn't they be happy because they knew that salvation was coming to the house of the notorious sinner, right? Like, wouldn't you think, like, oh, yay, finally, the bad guy is getting touched by Jesus. But instead, they were mad. They were grumbling and displeased. Why? Why? I don't understand. Because what was that? Now I can't see. Oh. Have you ever laughed so hard that you started to cry? So why was Zacchaeus able to respond that way? Here I go. Because something was unlocked in Zacchaeus when he responded to the Lord's invitation. The joy of salvation took hold of him. When Jesus said, I want to be a guest at your home, he was obviously talking about his home house, but he was also talking about his home, his home inside. He said, I want to come be a guest in your home. And Zacchaeus said, yes, with excitement and joy, knowing that he was full of all the stuff that he was full of. He responded in excitement and joy. He expressed that value, that satisfaction that just started overwhelming him. Because his response released the joy of salvation. The joy of salvation took hold of him. It took hold of Zacharias in that moment. And he was able to respond like the crazy people in the branches. Because he came into that place of knowing Jesus. Because he finally knew Jesus for being Jesus, not the rumors, not the stories, not somebody else's testimony, not, you know, what he heard through the grapevine or what he read in their local paper that had that then, or heard it from the town scribe. I don't know. You know, it was that he was experiencing, he encountered him, and forth came that place, that joy. So why were the other people so angry, so upset? Because the others could not see or understand it. So they focused on the wrong thing, and they ended up angry. Instead of focusing on the fact that Jesus was coming to Zacchaeus' house to bring salvation, instead of focusing on that, they started focusing on, why is Jesus hanging out with the bad guy? He ain't coming to my house. And I prayed 3 times today. And I killed the best of the sheep, and I did the things that I'm supposed to do. He's not coming to my house. Do you see? They were focused on the wrong thing, and they ended up in a place of grumbling and complaining or displeased. And they weren't able to engage and participate in the celebration of salvation because they were so angry. Because Jesus wasn't doing what they thought he should. It looked different. They couldn't understand. They were just seeing natural circumstances, and they couldn't see the spiritual thing that was happening. Where Zacchaeus, because of the Lord's power and love and goodness, was brought into that place of revelation. And he was able to step in and engage immediately in that place of joy. David spoke of the joy of salvation. I am sorry. David spoke of the joy of the salvation of the Lord in Psalms 51. 11:13, I'll read it from the Amplified. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Lord. He found himself apparently in a place where the joy of his salvation had been lost. Right? If he's asking for it to be restored, somewhere in there, it got lost. Stolen. He handed it away by the decisions that he made. Right? Because this is right after he was confronted about his extracurricular activities with his friends or the guy's wife. He had lost the joy of salvation, the joy of coming into that place of knowing the Lord. And here he was crying out, cast not your presence away from me. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me that joy, Lord. Uphold me with a willing spirit, and I will teach and bring people to your name. So as I meditated on these portions of scripture, I kept hearing and sensing in my spirit that the Lord this morning wants to bring a refreshing of joy to our hearts, in case you hadn't caught that. He wants to remind us that when we know him, that when we come into that place of salvation, when we come to that place of knowing him, it's a continual celebration of life. Every day should be a celebration of life, regardless of X, Y, and Z. You know, maybe for some of us, it's restoring that joy of our salvation, that joy of encountering the Lord, of being welcomed into his home, of us welcoming him into us, his home. You know, the joy, our joy could be bogged down by issues and circumstances and negativity and focusing on the wrong thing. Ecclesiastes 3:4 tells us that there is a time for everything. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And today, church, I really believe that the Lord wants to take us into a place. He wants to position us in our hearts, in our minds, in our wills, in our emotions for laughter and dancing. For laughter and dancing. You know, and I'm not saying, I don't mean to slap on a smile and fake it and I'm dying inside. Yes, I am joyful and I am happy. I am happy and I am joyful. Can't you tell by the smile on my face? You know, that's not what I mean. I'm not talking about let's pretend that we're all happy people while inside our pain is unbearable. Stress and being overwhelmed and heaviness and our sicknesses and the needs and X, Y, and Z are stirring up inside. That's not what I'm talking about. Or I'm not talking about a loopy, fakey, flaky, you know, mocking thing where everything's, I don't know what else to do, so I'm going to ha ha. You know, and it becomes this weird thing. But what I'm talking about is a real, authentic place of joy, of knowing him and his goodness to the degree where it transforms us. The kind of joy that breaks off the heaviness that the enemy wants us to live under. The kind of joy that breaks strongholds in our life of anger and bitterness, of rage, of depression, of self-loathing. The kind of joy that brings stability where we can truly not be shaken. A joy which gives us the ability to endure, to run the race set before us. That the depths of joy, that the depths of what of that gift that the Lord has given us is so much more than a feeling of goodness, a feeling happy and bubbly. That's part of that. But when joy, the revelation of joy, takes a hold of our lives and we begin to live it day in and day out, it gives us that ability to endure, to run the race that he set before us. Because it speaks of that in Hebrews 12. Who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. the kind of joy that brings stability to our emotional dysfunctions. Joy can do that. The joy of the Lord can take us into that place, into those places. He wants to fill us with a kind of laughter that brings healing, that brings deliverance and restoration to our pain and our sorrow, into our grieving and mourning. He wants to renew that this morning. He wants to pour it out afresh, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. But I really just felt this morning that he wanted to release that deeper depth of joy in our lives. The joy, the ability to celebrate, the ability to celebrate our life in him. Yes? You know, in Proverbs 17:12, verse 22, it says, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone dry. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone dry. Gloom and doom, negativity, heaviness. The NASB says, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A joyful heart brings healing, good medicine, healing. The New Living Translation says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. So if we've been tired, dry, weak, in the core of who we are, perhaps all you need is a good roll of laughter with the Lord to remind us of the hope and the joy and the goodness and the glory and the redemption and the resurrection of our Lord. That if we've been focusing on the wrong thing and it's caused us to remain in a place of grumbling and being displeased with life, dissatisfied in our marriage, dissatisfied in our children, dissatisfied in school, in our parents, in our friends, that the Lord is saying, knock, knock, who's there? Jesus! He wants to strengthen us today. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to strengthen us. Strengthen us. He wants us to be strong in him. Strong in him. Strong in him. He wants to strengthen us emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally. Strengthen us. He wants to strengthen. Oh, he wants to strengthen. He wants to strengthen. Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The New Living Translation is what I was reading, and it's talking about the people being assembled and the word of the Lord was being, the book of the law was being read to them. And the Levites were there to help them to understand the book of law that was being read to them. Verse 9, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Do not be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites too quieted the people, telling them, hush, don't weep, for this is a sacred day. So the people went away to eat and drink and at a festive meal, and to share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they had heard God's word and understood them. Because they heard God's word and understood them, they were able to put aside the weeping, because the time for mourning had ended, and the time to rejoice and to celebrate and to be filled with the strength of God had come. He had come just as the people who took off their coats and broke branches. They did it because they understood who Jesus was. Transformation and joy and celebration came to Zacharias because he had an encounter with Jesus, because he knew who he was, because they understood who was before them, the value of who was before them. So they heard God's word and understood in them, leading them into great joy. Leading them into great joy because they heard and they understood. There was revelation. There was a heart understanding. They were able to see what they hadn't seen before. And this morning, I am believing and I know that you are beginning to see what you haven't been able to see before, and that is that you are called and created to be strengthened in the joy of the Lord, that you are strong in the Lord emotionally, mentally, physically, in every way, shape, or form. You are strong. You are strong because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And isn't it hilarious that I'm saying this as tears are rolling down my face? Joy of the Lord is our strength. Romans 15:13 is a verse that I love, is a verse that I go to. It's a verse that I want more revelation of. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of Holy Spirit. The power of Holy Spirit here to fill you with joy and peace is here. The God of hope wants to fill you with all joy and peace, that you will abound in hope. And I want to read Psalms 126:1-6, and I'm going to finish up here. Psalms 126:1-6, thanksgiving for return from captivity. When the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Those who go out to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Our tongue with joyful shouting, our mouths filled with laughter, because of the great things that God has done for us, the great things that he has done for you, that he has done for me. The promise is those who sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. Excuse me. You know, and this doesn't mean that we have to become the joy police. Well, you aren't smiling, you aren't laughing. where's your joy level? And we start going about it that way. That just gets really weird really quick. And it kind of becomes religious. You know, are you okay? You're not laughing or smiling, Stephanie. What's wrong with you? Are you in deep depression? It's kind of hard because she's always smiling. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, now it's our responsibility to be the joy police. That's the Lord's job and responsibility. At the same time, let's not hide behind, well, that's not me. You know, I'm not as, what's it called? Extroverted. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm not loud. That's not who I am. You know, and I don't have to do it. By golly, I don't have to enjoy life with laughter and goodness. And that's right. We don't have to. We don't have to do anything with the Lord. But my encouragement today is that it just might be what brings more freedom and healing to our hearts. That it might just be what brings more freedom and healing to our hearts, to our emotions. You know, obviously, as you see my face, you know, I'm not saying that crying or weeping or grieving or going through expressing those emotions are wrong. They're not, that's not what I'm saying at all. Or if you're really super spiritual, you won't cry and weep over hard things. That's not what I'm saying in any way, shape, or form. Number one weeper, number one crier, number one expresser of things. What I'm saying is that, as Scripture said, there's a time for everything. And what I am saying this morning is that perhaps for some of us, we've been stuck in the mourning. We've been stuck in the sorrow. We've been stuck in the pain. We've been stuck in the depression. We've been stuck, we've been stuck, we've been stuck. And that's all that we've been able to see. And what I am saying is that this morning the Lord wants to release us from that. He wants to shift. He wants us to be able to see with clear eyes what is before us, so that we can join in celebration, so that we can enjoy Him in our life and enjoy life, period. That the Lord in His love and goodness is inviting us to a place of deeper freedom, of healing and of restoration. And again, sometimes that just looks like a really good laugh with our very good daddy. Because we start to express and respond because He is of value, because He is so good, because He is so good. Are you with me? Are you tracking with me? Well, I want to end with this. This is something that I found online. I don't know this person, so whoever you are. But I found this and I read it, and it's just really, really good. It was on a blog. I looked up, did Jesus laugh? And this is one of the things that came up. Just be careful of words the wise. But this is the man or person, Tim Stewart. And again, I don't know him, so please don't go, oh, you know, everything that, I don't know. This is just really good, so I'm sharing it with you. Okay. You can be full of joy without laughing, but you can't laugh without having some joy. Laughing can remind us of the joy we have and the hope we hold on to. Think about that. Laughing can remind us of the joy we have and the hope we hold on to. Because why? We have the God of hope. In that sense, laughter here on earth is preparation for someday living in heaven, where there'll be no more tears of sadness. I'll say that again. In that sense, laughter here on earth is preparation for someday living in heaven, where there will be no more tears of sadness. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever, says Revelation 21:4. I do think that there will be tears in heaven. but they will be the kind of tears that roll down our cheeks as we're tumbled over in laughter. And again, that's from a blog. Did Jesus laugh? And I just read that and reread that and reread that and reread that because it's so good. You know, when we're full of joy, sometimes we are weeping and we are crying because we're enduring, you know, the hard thing. We're pushing through and we're working it out and we're, you know, planting our feet and we're saying yes. And even though this hurts and even though this is crazy, you know, there's tears and craziness happening, but that joy is still within us. Does that make sense? Good, because it's kind of hard for me to make sense of it. You know, but that just sometimes joy can also be expressed in a good laugh with the Lord and a good laugh with friends and Jesus and just be good with life, be happy. Be happy that he's happy, that you're happy, that we're all happy, joyful people. And if that sounds like Chinese to you, if that you're just like, I don't, you know, please stop. Just shut your mouth because that's not how I feel inside, Cynthia. You don't know the depression and the torment that I have gone through or I am going through. You don't know what my home life is like. You don't understand the pain, you know, that's all fine and dandy. Because that is very real. But the Lord is saying today that he knows. He knows. He knows and he knows and he knows the depths of our stuff. But what he wants us to know is the depths of his joy and love that can bring us into a place of healing and restoration. He knows that, and he wants us to know him. He wants us to be able to reach into those deep wells with him and soak and enjoy, just enjoy life, enjoy his presence. Enjoy, just enjoy. Enjoy and rejoice and re-rejoice and enjoy. Because he's able to do that. He's able to take all of our stuff and overwhelm it and take over and absorb it. He did absorb it into himself on the cross so that we can have joy unspeakable spring forth from us. So that we can live in that place of celebrating life each day. Of celebrating life each day. You know, as I read in the triumphal entry, Josh, we're going to end with I asked Josh to close us with a joy song. We're going to do a little prophetic activation in a little bit, but as Josh is coming up, I read earlier in the triumphant entry that Jesus came in riding on a donkey. And what does scripture tells us? How does he return the second time? Is he coming back on a donkey? How does he come back? Riding on the clouds, a white horse, so that all can know. If you haven't caught it by then through revelation in your spirit, there is one day when everyone will know who the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is. And the Lord is saying, you have that opportunity right now to know that knowing through revelation of his spirit so that you can celebrate every day as he is King of Kings. And not just a nobody riding on a donkey. Are you hearing me? Every day in your life can be a celebration because of what he did for us, because of who he is. And it's not a nobody on an ugly donkey. It's the King of Kings on a horse coming for his bride. And he wants us to be a happy bride. Imagine that. A happy, joyful, not surface, fake, counterfeit, happy. But a happy, so happy, so happy, happy, so joyful, so joyful that we are strong, that we are unshakable, that we are stable in our relationship with Him. I believe that today, this morning, the Lord is wanting to release a stability, a supernatural stability, a supernatural stability into your life and into your heart, into all of our lives and into our hearts. A stability in your relationship with Him. He's releasing that this morning. Oh, He's releasing that stability mentally. If there's been mental struggles, He's bringing a stability, He's bringing healing, He's bringing a restoration through an outpouring of His joy. Holy. Oh. As I also read in the triumphal entry, that people were so beside themselves because they knew who Jesus was, and they were declaring and demonstrating, welcoming Him, ushering Him in, that they took off their coats so that He could ride, and that they started cutting off branches, palm branches symbolizing victory. I didn't really know that until I did some reading for this morning, that they symbolize victory. And that's why they chose the palm branch. That's why they chose to usher Him in with that, because they symbolized victory. And I believe that taking off their coats, you know, a sign of humility, saying, "Here, this is who I am, Lord, have me." So as we are led and we end together today, this morning, with a joy song, I just asked Josh to ask the Lord what a joy song meant this morning. I'm going to encourage you as a prophetic act, as a way of stepping out and saying, "Lord, I hear You this morning, and I want to respond to You." There's palm branches up here that we didn't hand out at normal worship service because I felt that the Lord wanted to do something special with them today. And just as those people who had the revelation, as that crowd of the disciples and the crowd that had been following Jesus knew, they celebrated with palm branches. And I'm going to encourage you, if you, as an act of response, as a prophetic act of saying, "Yes, I want that joy, Lord, refresh me, restore it, touch me for the first time," or wherever you fall in the category, I encourage you, as the joy song is sung and expressed and experienced, to come up and reach for a palm branch and to worship the Lord in the way that He's created you to worship. Because He wants to strengthen us this morning. And if you're strong, He wants to make you even stronger. And if you've been feeling not so strong, oh, hold on. Hold on to your hats. You're not wearing any, but hold on to them. Because the Lord really wants to take a surface understanding of joy. He wants to take a surface understanding to a deep, 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 deep place. Oh. And if you need a little help, just remember those videos at the beginning. Dance like nobody's watching. Apparently my husband and my son caught that early on. What about she caught?
Oh,
And those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Their mouths were filled with laughter and tongues with joyful shouts when they saw among the nations the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. We are glad. Yes, Lord. If you've been, did I? If you've been struggling with depression, if you've been struggling with depression, I just hear the Lord saying this, start stomping your as the music continues. It doesn't have to be with music. I just felt that the Lord was saying, if you've been struggling with depression or sadness or just an inability to step in, that I just heard feet, saw feet being stomped. I saw feet declaring. I just saw feet saying, no more. The enemy is under my feet. So if that is you, I just encourage you. It may be weird. It might be something you've never tried before, me either. So join me with, I believe what the Lord is pouring out, that if you want to be done with it, just begin to move your feet and declaring who you are as a child of God. So I just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, for the freedom, Father God, in Jesus' name, that strongholds and chains of depression, Lord, are being broken off, Lord Jesus. Generational curses, Father God, in the family lines, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that it's being crushed, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Holy One. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh. Well, church, you are officially dismissed. God bless you. May this week be a week of enjoying who you are, enjoying who your God is. May this be a week where you are strengthened in the joy of the Lord. May this be a week like you've never had before. And come prepared for throne room stations. Come prepare the ground. Come prepare your heart for next Sunday. Because it's truly going to be a celebration. A celebration, a celebration, a celebration. So God bless you. Kingdom kids, remember you have practice. Keep having fun with the Lord. But just so you know, you're officially dismissed.